fine.
رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد صلى الله عليك يا مولانا يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين صلى الله عليك يا ابن فاطمة المظلومة ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ إليكم يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم أفلا من صلى على محمد وآل محمد ثم صل على محمد For the love of Abba Abdullah al-Husayn with the loudest of our voices صلوا على محمد وآل محمد ثم صل على محمد For the love of Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, Arwaquna alaqul fida, Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammadin. Azzam Allahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. Waj'alana Allahu wa iyaakum min at-talibina bi tha'rihi ma imamin al-mansur al-mu'ayyad. Once again, we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this moment and this opportunity to continue to acquire the understanding of our religion and our faith from the institution of Karbala and from the teachings of our beloved master and savior Abba Abdullah al-Husayn salamullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. If brothers and sisters will recall very well, last night we discussed on the importance of taking a lead and initiative in our lives as individual and as society or community. And we emphasize on the importance of ikhlas when one takes initiative or move to take a lead in his or her life. As when your move or leading is devoid of ikhlas, then it will not be any fruit and it will not be accepted by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People may be happy with you, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not be happy with you. Hence, we quoted that famous tradition of our beloved Prophet saying, it's not about the knowledge which you have. It's not about the amount of work which you do. It's not about the amount of effort which you put in whatever you do. But what matters in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ikhlas wa niyyah. That we have to be sincere. Even if it's a very small thing, so long as there's ikhlas and sincerity, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will appreciate it and Allah will cherish it. Tonight, inshallah, our topic of discussion will be Hussein alayhi salam inspire me to take decision in difficult situations. And the verses I've quoted for tonight's discourse are famous verses from glorious Quran, Surah Al-Fajr. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wa dkhuli jannati. These verses, we now and then hear our scholars who sit on member, especially in the holy month of Muharram and the holy month of Safar, quoting these verses of Quran. And as I told you last night, so many verses of Quran, if not all, are looked or viewed from two dimensions. In other words, from two interpretations or two tafsir. We have tafsir mafhumi and we have tafsir masdaqi. The meaning of the particular verse in general and the verification of that verse in practical. This verse, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna, in general, what does it mean? It simply means every single person, a believer, who trusts in the decision of Allah, who accept whatever situation he or she find himself in and refers everything to Allah, you are regarded as nafsul mutma'inna. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll discuss more about it. But when we talk of the misdaq of this particular verse, ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, companion of our Sif Imam came to our Sif Imam and asked our Sif Imam, what is the verification of ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna? Yani, to whom mutma'inna is referred to? Then our Sif Imam simply explained, it is referring to Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. So from this teaching of our Imam, we understand that nafsul mutma'inna is no one else but Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And of course, we heard from Hussein several times, which testify to this teaching of Imam Ja'far alayhi salam on nafsul mutma'inna. Whatever happened to Aba Abdullah, Aba Abdullah would only mention, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He would only mention, ilahi ridan bi qada'ika wa tasliman li amrik. Ya Allah, I, Hussein, is pleased with your verdict. And I, Hussein, have succumbed to whatever you want me to succumb to. I do not have any complaint. I am happy with the situation. So looking at this verse, as I mentioned, our topic of tonight will be Hussein alayhi salam inspires me to take decision in difficult situation. Because you find now and then in our lives, especially young, youth, we find it very difficult to take decisions in our lives. Some of us find it difficult to take decisions when it comes to marriage. Hence, a person will spend so many years and every year is thinking about marriage, but he's not getting married. Some of us, when it comes to our studies, we become confused and undecided. We turn left, we turn right. We don't know which side to take. Some of us, when it comes to our spirituality, our love for Allah, we tend to struggle. Do I have to start tahajjud? Or what do I have to start with? Even some of us, when it comes to about friendship, and inshallah, tomorrow also friendship is about my topic, we find it difficult to know who to hang around with. Should I go with this one? Or should I go with the other one? So Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam inspires me to take decision in a difficult situation. And our examination of tonight will be of two stages. The first stage, we will look at the division or the categorization of existence into two. Every single person, Muslim, non-Muslim, when you look at your existence, it is divided into two, which we will shed a lot of light on it. And then the second stage of our examination, we will look at how Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, to get inspiration, decided in difficult moments, and how he extended his life, not only limiting to this material life, and how Abu Abdullah influenced so many souls, and how people tend to take decision within a twinkle of an eye on account of being inspired by Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, right from his journey, Madinatul Munawwara up until Karbala al-Muqaddasa. And the aim of this topic is to inspire each and every one of you. And of course, beginning with the speaker, for me to be able to take decision in whatever difficult situation that I may find myself in, especially when it comes to our spiritual life. Because that is what is neglected in our lives. Material, we are trying our level best. But when it comes to spirituality, people have thousands of excuses. Hence, we are not growing when it comes to our relationship with Allah. We are not growing when it comes with our relationship with Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam. Now, scholars came forward and said, existence of every individual is divided into two. I want you to pay attention to this. This is so important, and this has to do with our life entirely. Once we understand these two types of existence, then you will know the direction Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants you to take in your life, especially as youth. The first type of existence, scholars call it wujud hakiki. Literally, wujud hakiki means real and true life. And in their own definition, they said, what is wujud hakiki, real or true life? They said, wujud hakiki is a type of existence that nobody differ about his meaning and definition. Example, wujudul insan, the existence of insan. You go to Christian, man exists. You go to Muslim, man exists. You go to atheist, man exists. You go to everyone, insan mawjud, everyone exists. There is nobody who differ that Muhammad is sitting here. Even his enemy, I hope he doesn't have enemy, will come and tell he's sitting here. But the second one, they call it wujud i'tibari, recognize the existence. What is recognized existence? It's type of existence where people differ when it comes to its definition and meaning. Example, liquor is najis. To Muslims, it's najis, but to non-Muslims, it's not najis. It's a long discussions in our fiqh. Muslims, liquor, alcohol is najis. But to non-Muslims, it's not najis. So this is what scholars call it, i'tibari. It is something that exists, but it's recognized with a certain definition. When you look at insan, you look at yourself, I look at myself, I am also made up of these two types of existence. One person sitting here, Muhammad Noor, you are of wujud hakiki, and you are of wujudu i'tibari. You have a real and true existence, and you have a recognized or additional existence. What is your real existence as Muhammad, as a Hassan, as a Murtada? Your real existence or hakiki is your material and physical existence. What is your material and physical existence? 50 years you spend in this world, done, finish, gone. Barzakh. 100 years, fine, you will spend 100 years. After that, summa maza, what happened after that? You gone. 20 years you're gonna be in this world, 20 after that, you go in Baraza. This is what they call wujud hakiki. Everybody has it. But the second one is the most important. Yes, this is prerequisite to the second one. Because if I do not live in this world, then I will not be able to attain the second one.
is what they call additional or recognized existence. What is additional and recognized existence? Somebody came to our beloved Imam, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullahi alayhi. He asked Imam Amir, what is the essence of life? In other words, he's asking Imam alayhi salam, Ya Mawlai, Ya Imam, Allah has given me this life. So far, I've spent 50 years in this dunya. 55 years in this dunya. What is the essence? What is the point? You know what Amir al-Mumin said? Qimatu kullu muri'in ma yuhsinu. Allahu Akbar. The value of every person is what that person is able to achieve out of these 50 years given to him by Allah. You are given 50 years. 50 years is not a joke. You are given 30 years. Some of us here are 25 years, 15 years, 30 years. Some of our fathers and mothers here are 90 years, 70 years. What have you achieved so far? Imam Amir said, the value of your life is dependent on what you have achieved out of these years given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what scholars call wujudun i'tibari, something that gives you i'tibar, that gives you recognition more in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that will give you recognition in the eye of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam. Something that will give you recognition in the eye of true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because not everybody who praises you mean that he's praising you. Therefore, we say recognition in the eye of the true servant of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, in the famous tradition of Rasulullah, Rasulullah explained this additional and recognized life. Where Rasulullah said, إِذَا مَاتَ بُنُ آدَمَ انْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. When the son of Adam departs from this world, all your deeds are done. What does it mean all your deeds are finished? Meaning your physical and material life is over. The only thing that will help you is recognized life. It's additional life. And Rasulullah in that riwaya outlined some of the things that we should do in our life to get additional life from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, Rasulullah said, sadaqatun jariya. Give sadaqah, running sadaqah. What is running sadaqah? Like, alhamdulillah, we have so many organizations who are doing good charity work. Once you do that charity and after your birth, people continue to benefit from it, it is additional life to your life. And that is more important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You give service to the community. Like some of our boys stand here, they give announcement. When somebody gets inspired of what they are doing, when they are not in this world, it becomes additional life to them in barzakh and they benefit from it. Like those who began this community, some of them may not be in dunya anymore, but now this is an additional life to their life. Like today you have so many Shi'i organizations. Who is Hussein? Give like Hussein so many. Those who started this thing, and it is good to help humanity, that is additional life to your life. At campus, universities, you reach out to others, whether Muslims or non-Muslims. So long as it is based on humanity, when you leave this world, you will benefit from it. Madrasa, you come and teach as youth, as mom, as father. When you die, it is regarded as additional life. Therefore, Rasulullah said, Sadaqatun jariya. Awa ilmun yuntafa'u bih. Knowledge given to you by Allah and you benefit people for the sake of Allah. Because I may have the knowledge and I may brag with my knowledge. I may have the knowledge and I may raise my shoulders with my knowledge. I may have the knowledge and I may undermine people with my knowledge. Allah is not interested in that type of knowledge. It is the only knowledge which you give it for the sake of Allah. Not for you to be praised. Not for you to get attracted to people. But for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it knowledge of dunyawi or knowledge of ukhrawi, it is additional existence to you in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course, as I mentioned yesterday, Rasulullah mentioned, أَوَّلَدٌ صَالِحْ يَدْعُوا لَهُ. You leave behind a son or a daughter. And this son and daughter, you give them proper Islamic upbringing. When you depart from this world, those children will be regarded as additional life to your life. So therefore, we have physical true life, and we have additional and recognized life. Now let's go to the second step of the exam, which is the most interesting. How did Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam extended his life? Meaning, Abu Abdullah had this physical life also. But now how did he extend it completely to not to only limit to this physical life of this world, but to benefit the Ummah and to make Ummah got inspired with him, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam? Now you see, when you go back to Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, in that chapter, He mentioned to us, there are two types of world. Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Tabarak Allahu ahsanul khaliqin. Allah in this chapter, He said, we have what is called alamul khalq. We have what is called alamul amr. Two type of world. The first world Allah mentioned in this verse of Surah Al-A'raf, He said it is the world of order. And the second one, Allah said it is the world of creation. What is the world of creation and what is the world of order? I want to show you how Abu Abdullah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not limit himself with only this physical world, these material things which we see, this fancy and beauty that we see in the world. Abu Abdullah looked beyond that, and I want us to look beyond what we see now. We don't have to limit ourselves, as I mentioned the first night, space and time. And this material, no, there is something beyond this. And that is what Allah wants you to get there. So that you are not a prisoner when you are in this world. Islam doesn't regard the only one behind bars as a prisoner. Some of us who are limited by time and space, Islam regards us as prisoners also. Because we cannot think beyond the box. Islam wants us to think outside the box completely. For us to be able to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, alamul khalq and alamul amr. What is the world of creation? Scholars made it very clear from the Quranic interpretation. The world of creation, it simply means the world of materialism. The world of ajisam, the world of objects, and the world of materialism. This is what Quran referred to it as the world of creation. Now, you see, when you look at Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam, Ahlul Bayt, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made them shart condition for the existence of this world. I want you to pay attention. It's not exaggeration. And I want to prove to it in Quran. Allah made Ahlul Bayt, of course, including Abu Abdullah, because my main point is about Abu Abdullah. They are shart condition for the existence of the entire world. Meaning, Allah created the world because of the barakah of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. Because when you look at the previous ummah of all the prophets, they would commit one small sin and Allah would send them punishment and repercussion. Some of them were turned upside down by Allah on account of a sin they committed. But look at the ummah of the holy prophets. How many sins I and you commit? Only Allah knows. Hence Quran mentioned, يَوْمَ تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ. There will be a day when secrets will be unveiled. Because what is in your mind, I don't know. What is in my mind, you don't know. I may be sitting here, but you don't know what is in my mind. You may be sitting here, I don't know what is in your mind. So therefore, because of the barakah of Rasulullah, whatever sins I and you may commit, whatever wrongs that we may engage in our lives, Allah said, أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْآلَمِينَ. We give you the opportunity. You can still ask for forgiveness because of the rahmah of Rasulullah. So not only the rahmah of Rasulullah, but the rahmah of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam. But now, how do you justify that? You all know, we are told, every effect has a cause. There is no effect on the face of universe which does not have a cause. When I see fire or smoke coming, I know behind it there is fire. Now, this cause, which they call it illah, the cause of everything, is made up of two components. They have a muqtada and they have a shards. Cause of everything, it is made up of two things. The first one, muqtada. What is muqtada? It is the source of the power for that thing. And the second one, they call it the condition for the power to materialize. Now, let me give an example. You look at this light, which we are benefiting now from. When you look at this light, what comes to mind is this is just an effect. What is the cause for the light? It is the powerhouse. But the powerhouse, if it is there alone, will we get the light? No. What do you need? You need a wire between the powerhouse and this bulb. So that powerhouse, they regard it as a source of power, muqtada. And then the wire which joined between the powerhouse and the bulb is what they call the condition, the shart. So now scholars say this condition, they are of two types. The first type of a condition is that there is a condition which the powerhouse depend on it. Without it, the powerhouse will not be effective. And there is a condition, no, the powerhouse doesn't need it. It is the receiver, the end receiver, who needs it. Example, I take a piece of paper to write something on it. The paper is there, and Noor is there. Can I write? I can't. I need a pen, isn't it? This pen is a condition. But which type of a condition? It's a condition that the source of power needs it. Without it, the source of power cannot do anything. But there's a condition which, or without it, the power is there. That is what? The source of power of electricity. The same thing applies to this dunya. This dunya, when you look at us, Allah created us through our moms and dads. But the question is Allah not capable to create us without mom and dad? Why is it that we all came to this world through our fathers and moms? Is Allah not akadirun ala kulli shay? Can't he create us? Kun fayakun, we all come to this world without mom and dad. Like the way he created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Scholars said no, father and mom are conditions for your life. But it is a type of condition which is not needed by the power, the main power, which is Allah. It is the nature of this world that needs father and mother. Or else directly, the nature of this world cannot accept it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing applies to our relationship and relationship of Allah to angels. Allah, when he wants to release rain, there is an angel for rain. When he wants to distribute the rizq, there are angels who help with the distribution of the rizq. Can't Allah bring rain without any angel? Is Allah in need of the angel? The angel is a condition. But is Allah in need of it or us in need of it? Scholars made it very clear in Aqa'id that no, the condition which is angel, Allah is not in need of it. It is insan and the nature of this world that need the condition. So the same thing applies to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam. Ahlul Bayt are wasila and condition for the existence of this world. But now they are not independent wasila. They are dependent wasila. Dependent wasila in the sense that they depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Bayt are not independent of Allah. Yes, they are conditioned for the existence of this world. The world need Ahlul Bayt to exist, not Allah who need Ahlul Bayt to bring the world into it. As when you read Hadith al-Qisa, إِنِّي مَا خَلَقْتُ سَمَاءً مَبْنِيًّا وَلَا أَرْضًا مَدْحِيًّا وَلَا كَمَرًا مُنِيرًا وَلَا شَمْسًا مُضِيعًا وَلَا بَحْرًا يَدُورُ وَلَا فُلْكُ إِلَّا لِأَجْلِكُمْ وَمَحَبَّتِكُمْ. Yani, when you look at this Hadith al-Qisa, Allah is explaining that we've created everything of the moon, of the earth, of the sun, of the sea, of the river, لِأَجْلِكُمْ وَمَحَبَّتِكُمْ, because of you, Ahlul Bayt, and because of your love. It simply means Ahlul Bayt are the conditions for the existence of this world. Yani through their barakat and through their rahmah. But as I said, they are not independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you read Ziyaratul Jami'ah, there is a phrase in Ziyaratul Jami'ah which explains that beautifully. Bikum bada Allah wa bikum yaqtatim. Allah began through you Ahlul Bayt and He will end through you Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wa salam. So therefore, based on this takrir, there are three things that we learn here. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. The first one is that Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wa salam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given them authority. Their wilaya, they have authority over creations. Hence, we do our worship of Allah through Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wa salam. And you know, there are two beautiful verses of Quran that scholars use to prove to this argument. That you know, Asif ibn Barqiya. Asif ibn Barqiya was a companion of Nabiullah Sulaiman alayhi salam. And you know, Sulaiman had always wanted to get the throne of Bilqis. So he spoke to so many of his companions who could bring the throne within a short space of time. This would say, I would bring it within a few hours. The other one would say, I will bring it within 1 hour. Some will say, within 30 minutes. But Asif ibn Barqiya, he came to Sulaiman alayhi salam. And he said to Sulaiman, I will bring it within a twinkle of an eye. When Allah describes Asif ibn Barqiya in Quran, what does Allah say? وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابَ. The one who's been given the knowledge of the book said to Sulaiman alayhi salam, I will bring the throne within a twinkle of an eye. Allah said, we've given you knowledge of the book. There's another verse where Allah says, وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابَ. And the one who's been given the mother of the book. He has scholars many clear, both Sunni and Shia. You read our tafsir. They said the one who's given the mother of the book is Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib. Masalli ala Muhammad. And the one who's given part of the knowledge of the book is Asif ibn Barqiya. So when they talk about the wilayah of Allah, they said Asif was given part of the knowledge. And he managed to bring it within a twinkle of an eye. What of the one who is the mother of the book, Amir al-Mu'minin? So therefore, number one takrir we'll get, I want you to follow me with this discussion. It's very important. They've got the wilaya. As you know, the relationship of Aba Abdullah to Ali ibn al-Akbar. One day, Ali ibn al-Akbar in Madinah al-Munawwara looked at the face of his beloved father. And he said, oh, my beloved father, I crave grape. And it wasn't a grape season. But Aba Abdullah loved Ali ibn al-Akbar so much. Scholars in the riwayah, they mention Aba Abdullah just hit his hand on the wall of the mosque. And grape came out of the mosque. And he gave it to Ali ibn al-Akbar. So Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu, they've got that wilayah. Yes, of course, now we are in the zaman of Ghaibatul Qubra of our beloved Imam. And this Ghaiba, primarily all of us have to have a relationship with the Imam of our time. And if it's so difficult to have the relationship, you have to have a relationship through our great Maraja and our great scholars. And there are so many teachings outlined by Islam on how to establish that relationship with the Imam of our time. Because we believe Imam has that authority given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the things that we can do to get related and close to the Imam of our time is Safa'ul Qalb. I must have a pure heart wherever I am. I must have a pure heart in my dealings with everyone. With Muslims, with non-Muslims, my heart must be very, very pure. Because if your heart is not pure, Imam alayhi salam will never come closer to you. And the other one, they said, whatever you do, you connect it to Imam al-Zaman. I give an example. If you want to go to school and you are confused, he said, Ya Allah, if Imam al-Zaman is happy, let it happen. If you want to go to work, you confuse, Ya Allah, if Imam al-Zaman is happy, let it happen. They said, these are some of the things that you need to do for Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, to make it easier for you to get close to the Imam of your time. So that is number one. We learn that Ahlul Bayt, they have that authority. Number two, we learn from this particular takrir of the shirt, the cause and the effect, that it is mustahab, and not just mustahab, highly recommended mustahab, to make the tawassul of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Most of us don't attend dua tawassul. We don't attend and we don't even recite it every Tuesday. We are told in so many teachings, every Shi'i and every lover of Ahlul Bayt who recite dua tawassul every Tuesday night, Ahlul Bayt, and most especially the Imam of our time, will take care of his affairs of this dunya and akhirah. So we learn that no, we need to ask the wasila of Ahlul Bayt. As the only verse made it very clear, when these people came to Rasulullah with their sons and they were asking Allah to forgive them, Allah revealed unto Prophet, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَكْفَرُوا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَكْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. If they had all come to you, Ya Rasulullah, asking for forgiveness of Allah from you, and you, Rasulullah, forgives them, Allah would forgive them. Hence, you see, when Fatima bint Asad, the mother of our beloved first Imam, died, when Rasulullah went to the cemetery to bury her, they came, they brought the body of this beautiful lady. Rasulullah first went inside the grave, isn't it? And he laid his body in the grave. And he made dua. Ilahi as'aluk bihaqqi sa'ilina ilayk wa bihaqqi al-anbiya'i min qabli illa ghafarta li ummi Fatima bint Asad wa wassa'ta madkhalaha. I'm just trying to say tawassul. Rasulullah also made tawassul. That Ya Allah, I ask you through the haqq and the right of all those who ask you every day and night. And I ask you through the right and the power of all your prophets who came before me, forgive my mother Fatima bint Asad and illuminate and make her grave very big and wide. So therefore, the second thing we learn, brothers and sisters, that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam, including Aba Abdullah, is all about wasila and seeking intercession. You want to do everything connected to Ahlul Bayt. I alone, I cannot do it. You alone, you cannot do it. They are closer to Allah than us. So ask Allah through Ahlul Bayt. Yes, we said they are not independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one, which is the most important, is that the whole world shakes, or existence shakes, when the blood of any one of them is shed and splitted. No doubt Islam says blood is valuable. Even blood of a non-Muslim is valuable. The blood of every insan is valuable. But now the most valuable blood is the blood of Anbiya'ullah wa Awsiya. The blood of the prophets and the blood of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. Hence, when the blood of Aba Abdullah, I want to show you how Aba Abdullah, his life did not only limit to that material life, but it's also extended for the whole existence to benefit from it. When the blood of Aba Abdullah was splitted and shed in Karbala, the earth and the heaven cry. And I want to prove to that from Quran. Because number one is a riwaya from our beloved F Imam. You know, in the famous riwaya of Imam Rida with Ibn Shabib, he said to Ibn Shabib, Ya Ibn Shabib, in kunta baqiyan fabki lil Husayn. Oh, the son of Shabib, if you want to cry of whatever befalls you, the best way to do so is to cry for Husayn alayhi salam. Then he said to him, Ya Ibn Shabib, when the blood of my grandfather Husayn was splitted, the earth and the heaven wept and cried. And you know this, when you go to Ibn Asakir in Tariq Damashq, this is a Sunni book, and Ibn Ajar al-Asqalani in his book, they wrote a very beautiful thing about the blood of Aba Abdullah. They said that moment when Shimr beheaded Aba Abdullah, there wasn't a stone on the face of universe that if you had lifted, you wouldn't see blood under that stone. This is a Sunni writer who wrote that. But how do you prove to that the earth and the heaven cried for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein? Number one is Quran. Quran talks about Qawm Salih, the people of Salih. فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْذِرِينَ. Allah said the earth and the heaven did not cry and weep for the people of Salah because they did not respect Salah. So now you, in logic, in Usul al-Fiqh, if they did not cry for Salah, it means they are crying for someone else. And no doubt, the earth and the heaven cried and wept for Aba Abdullah. Number two verse of Quran is very clear. Allah tabaraka summa kasat kulubukum min ba'di dhalik fayyakal hijarati aw ashaddu qaswa. Allah said some people's heart is even harder than the stone. But there are some stones, Allah said, they break apart on account of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a stone will break apart on account of the fear of Allah, so it's not unusual for it to break apart when the blood of Aba Abdullah was splitted in Karbala. In another verse, Allah mentioned, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Allah said, look at people. They are not following Quran. If we had revealed this Quran unto stones and mountains, you would have seen stones and mountains breaking apart on account of the fear of Allah. But now I and you, how many times Quran verses been recited to us? How many times? And we are not taking heed to any lesson. So therefore, number one, Aba Abdullah, with his akhlaq, with his taqwa, and the love of Allah, influenced the world of material. Now the question comes to I and you. What legacy are we going to leave in our lives? Each and every one of you is a member of our community here. What positive thing are you doing to the community so that when you are there, when you are not there, it becomes something positive for you? Because Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam influenced. He did not limit himself to only these fancy material things. 53 years, 57 years in life, no. Let people benefit even if I'm not in this world. So you also, as Muslim, as Shi'i, be someone positive in your life, positive in your approach, positive in your interaction. As Rasulullah mentioned, وَمَا الْمَرْءُ إِلَّا حَدِيثًا بَعْضًا. Insan is nothing but what will be said after you. When today you depart from this world, the only thing that will survive after you is your akhlaq, your deeds, and your action. So therefore, number one, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam influenced this material world. Hence, all things in the material world are making tawassul of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam. That is number one. Number two, Aba Abdullah alayhi salam will have influence on the day of Qiyamah. And I can also do that, you can do that. If you are determined, people will benefit from you on the day of Qiyamah to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did Aba Abdullah al-Hussein will influence on the day of Qiyamah? You know, in ziyarat of Imam Hussein, there is a very beautiful ziyarat which we recite. Which we said, Ashhadu anna damaka sakanun fil khuld. I bear witness that, O Hussein, your blood will remain forever. What does it mean, your blood will remain forever? You know, in our aqaid, in theology, there is a discussion called Tajseemul A'mal. The transformation of our deeds and actions. Your salat, on the day of Qiyamah, it will not be salat anymore. Allah will transform that salat into a tree of fruit in Jannah for you. You coming for majalis every night, on the day of Qiyamah, it will be transformed into a well or river for you in Jannah. Whatever good deeds you do, it will be transformed into something. And of course, vice versa, whatever bad things you do also, it will be transformed into something else. So therefore, the blood of Aba Abdullah, which he gave on the 10th day of Muharram, it will benefit so many people who are Ansar al-Hussein on the day of Qiyamah. Hence, you realize in the riwayah, when Ali ibn al-Asghar was killed, when they struck the arrow on the neck of Ali ibn al-Asghar, of course, you all know, the catalogue of Ali ibn al-Asghar is the hand and the palm of Aba Abdullah. Now, Aba Abdullah, looking at the blood in his hand, what did he do? Threw the blood up. The blood did not come down according to the riwayah we received. We have a riwayah that says this blood is kept by the angels of Allah, and some Ansarul Hussein will be given shafa out of that blood on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, Aba Abdullah will be, hence we have a famous riwayah that on the day of Qiyamah, when our beloved mother Fatima to Zahra will come out, she would say, show me those who cried for Hussein. My shafa will first go to those who weep or wept for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. So therefore, Hussein alayhi salam will benefit on the day of Qiyamah. So I invite you all also, let's try to put up attitude and behaviors, to put up good akhlaq, reach out to people and the creations of Allah, not only to benefit us in this world, when you go to Qiyamah, because of your nearness and closeness to Allah, others will get shafa through your nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last one is how Aba Abdullah influenced souls. Souls were influenced by Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And this is so beautiful that Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, right from the beginning of his movement up until the end of his movement, there are so many souls that he changed. And I want us to learn lesson. And this is the part which is illuminating my topic of discussion. Number one, you know, we have two types of guidance. We have a hidayah amriya, we have a hidayah khulkiya. The first one, hidayah khulkiya, like I'm sitting here, I'm talking to all of you. But there is a second type of guidance whereby when you sit next to a person, whether he speaks or not, you get guided and inspired by that person. This is what Imam Jafar mentioned, al-alimu man idha nadharta ilayhi yudhakkiruka al-akhirah. A real and a true scholar is the one, when you look at him alone, he reminds you of the day of Qiyamah. Don't get convinced by what people say on their mouth. That is important, but the akhlaq is the most important thing. I may say something and practice vice versa. So the second type of guidance is hidayah amriya. That is a type of guidance where a person will not speak. You see, when you go to Iraq or Najaf, sometimes you sit next to our maraji'a. Wallah, they will not open their mouth, but you get overwhelmed and inspired by their presence. That's what we call a hidayah amriya. Sometimes in our own community, some boys, they sit next to you. You feel inspired. Hence, Quran, when it talks about Ali, ja'alnahum a'immatan ya'aduna bi amrina. They guide with our amr is a hidayah amriya. So, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, he influenced souls without speaking. I want us to be like that. Let our akhlaq influence people. Isn't it the Sif Imam said, "Kunu lana zainan bighayri al-sinatikum." Become good examples for us without the usage of your tongues. Let your akhlaq represent you. Let people get inspired with your akhlaq. And you know, Zuhair ibn al-Kain got inspired with the akhlaq of Aba Abdullah. Aba Abdullah was going towards Iraq, and Zuhair and his wife Daylam were going towards Iraq from Hajj. Now, Zuhair, you know, he was with Uthman during the time of Uthman. And Zuhair during the time of Uthman did not support Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. We all know that. But now the wife saw him and Hussein alayhi salam saw him, but Hussein did not say anything. Hussein would come and go and Zuhair would look at him. So the wife said, are you happy to sit here when the son of Zahra is alone there? Aba Abdullah would come and go. Zuhair got inspired with the presence of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. The second one is that Aba Abdullah inspired his companions. His companions, how did Aba Abdullah got inspired with his companions? It is because of the decision taken by Aba Abdullah. Aba Abdullah took a decision in that difficult situation. And on account of the decision he took, All the companions were inspired completely. What did Hussein said when he was taking the decision? Inni zahibun bihadhihi al-usra ma'akillati al-adad wa khizlani al-nasir. I was saying, I have decided, I am going with this family. Although we are very small in number, and I know there is no any strong supporter there in Karbala. This decision taken by Abu Abdullah, I and you, when we find ourselves in difficult situation, it becomes uneasy for us to be able to take decision. So when Abu Abdullah took decision in that moment, that inspired so many of his companions. One of them is Abis ibn Shabib al-Shakiri, who when he got inspired by the decision of Hussein, he said, Wallahi lakad ajannani hubb al-Hussein. Indeed, the love of Hussein made me very mad. I am mad in the love of Hussein. I will call Hussein, Hussein, Hussein until everybody says I'm a mad person. Decision of Hussein alayhi salam made Wahab and his mom and his wife that he got married with her 14 days, some said 17 days, which did not finish even the honeymoon, as you mentioned honeymoon. He joined Abu Abdullah. Wahab was a Christian. His mom was a Christian. And Abu Abdullah was going with Ali ibn al-Asgar, with Sakina, with Hamida, young children, with ladies, Umm Kulthum, Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam. Abu Abdullah got to the village where Wahab was, next to Iraq, next to Kufa. And then Wahab came close to Abu Abdullah. He said, oh man, where are you going with these young children? We are concluding now. Where are you going with these young children? He said, no, there is a leadership in Sham, and that leadership is allowing injustice. I'm going to Kufa and Karbala to make sure injustice is overcome. Mother of Wahab saw Wahab from far talking to Abba. I want to say, oh, your decision is so important in life. She called, Wahab, come. Who are you talking to? He said, no, it's this man with young children, with women. He told me he's going to Iraq. There is injustice taking place. The mother asked him, who is that man? He said, his name is Hussein Ibn Ali. Ali? The mother said, Wahab, you know who is this Ali? She's a Christian. Wahab, Christian. Wahab said, no, I don't know it's Ali. Said, no, if not because of the dua of this Ali, I and you were not going to be alive in this world. Wahab said, Mama, how? Said, when I conceived, I was carrying you in my womb. I felt so ill. And I went to so many healers and doctors. And I was told I would not survive. But someone came to me and said, go in Kufa. There is a leader by the name of Ali. When you go to him, he will not even ask you whether you are a Muslim or non-Muslim. You just tell him your problem. He will make dua for you and you will be healed. The mother told Wahab, I went to Kufa and I met this man by the name of Ali in the mosque. And I told him my problems. And he told me, raise up your hand. He did not ask me, where are you coming from? Which village? Today we said, this one, before we do favors to people, unfortunately. The mother said, he made dua for me. I came back. I delivered you, Wahab. Wahab asked mom, then what do we do? The mom said, I only need one thing from you, Wahab. Let us, I, you and your wife, join him and go to Karbala. Wahab said, indeed, mom, I'm ready. Decision of this man to take all these children with him and all these women, like just they can mention. We understand Hussein, but taking the children, we do not understand. So therefore, the decision of Abu Abdullah influenced so many people. Hence, the wife of Wahab was the first woman Shahida in Karbala. And you saw when they killed Wahab, they took the head of Wahab and threw it to his mom. The mother took the head and said, Ya Allah, if you give me 20 of these heads, I will give it back to Hussein. Decision. Take decisions in difficult situations and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way to take this decision is to give everything to Allah and say, I am taking this decision and I know Allah will not leave me alone. إلهي رضا بقضائك وتسليما لأمرك تركت الخلق ترا في هواك وأيتمت الأيال لكي أراك ولو كتعني بالحب أربا لما مال الفؤاد إلى سوا. That's the decision of Abu Abdullah. I've left everything of this world. If they will chop me into pieces, I, Hussein Sahat, will not divert from my decision until you are pleased with me, Allah. So you want to take decision, brothers and sisters, in your life, material life, social life, spiritual life, rely on Allah. Abu Abdullah taught us, if you rely on Allah and you take a decision, that decision will be effective in your life. Hence when we remember Karbala, scholars said, Wallah, whenever you remember Karbala, don't forget Fatima al-Zahra. That is why you find out Ahlul Bayt in Karbala, in each and every position, they would remember Fatima al-Zahra. Narration says, when Abu Abdullah got to the body of Ali ibn al-Akbar, Akbar would cry, and at the same time, Akbar would smile. Abu Abdullah asked Akbar, why smiling and crying at the same time? Akbar said, Wallah, I am smiling because when I turn that way, I see Rasulullah telling me, come to us, we will quench your thirst. But Abu Abdullah said, oh Akbar, why crying at the same time? Akbar said, Wallah, because I see my grandmom Fatima al-Zahra. When I see her, she's slapping on her cheek. Eh, Wallah. Hence, when you go to Karbala, you cannot forget Fatima al-Zahra, because Fatima al-Zahra is Ummul Masa'ib. Narration says the authorities of the time sent their henchmen to the house of Fatima. When they came to the house of Fatima to Zahra, they asked Fatima to come out and pay allegiance. But then Fatima replied, this is the house of Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah. The response is what they pushed the door on Fatima to Zahra. Arbab al-Makatil said, when they pushed the door on Fatima al-Zahra, there was a nail on the door. The nail went and pierced the rib of Fatima al-Zahra. That is why later on, many years after, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq remembered this nail piercing the rib of Fatima al-Zahra. A lady, early morning, she went to the market of Banu Umayyah. This lady, as she was walking in that market, she fell down. The moment she fell down, she said, may Allah curse the killers of Fatima al-Zahra. She was arrested by Banu Umayyah. A man saw and he went to the house of Imam Jafar. He said, Imam, make dua for this lady. He made dua. The lady was released. She was brought to the house of Imam Jafar al-Sadiq. Imam asked a lady, why did you curse the killer of Fatima al-Zahra when you were falling down? Huh? You know what she said? She said, oh, my beloved Imam, when I was falling down, I realized I was falling on my rib. I fell on my rib. That was the moment I understood the pain of Fatima al-Zahra. That is why Asma bint Umayyah is reported to have said, I heard Amir al-Mu'minin crying as he was busy making the ghusl of Fatima al-Zahra. I asked him, oh Amir al-Mu'minin, why are you crying today like this? He said, Asma, as I'm busy making the ghusl of my beloved wife Fatima al-Zahra, my hand went and touched the broken rib of Fatima al-Zahra. That is why when they were burying Fatima, Hassan came to the body of Fatima. Imam Hassan called out and there was painful quietness. Abu Abdullah came to the body of Fatima al-Zahra. He sat next to the body of his mom. He called Amma, 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 painful quietness. And then it was said, it was revealed unto Amir al-Mu'minin, go and take Abu Abdullah from the body of Fatima. Arbab al-Makatil asked a question, if angels could not bear to see Hussein on the chest of Fatima, how did they bear to see Shimmer on the chest of Abu Abdullah? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.